Today we're going to talk about being happy in God's Word. Being happy and excited in God's Word. Being happy that God has given us so much. So much. Especially in the printed Word. It's a joy to be able to have it. When you think of the number of centuries that God's Word came about and has been there, it is absolutely incredible to think how it has been preserved down through the ages, isn't it? That these words that were written thousands of years ago, we're going to read this morning. And the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to use these words to bring happiness in our lives. So I'm going to be reading from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, but I'm only going to read the first 8 verses. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down full precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I considered all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Psalm 119 has a unique place in the book of Psalms. It is the longest psalm. It has 176 verses. And for some people, as they read through it, they wonder, does this ever end? What I want you to understand about Psalm 119 is that this is a love song. It is a love song about the writer's love for God's Word in 22 stanzas. Now, if Judy were to have us to stand up and sing 22 stanzas of a song, I venture to say a lot of folks would be ready to go home after that, right? But this writer of this psalm wants us to know how much I love God's Word. And there's something very unique about this psalm that we do not see in English. For each stanza, there are 8 verses. I read the first 8. There are 8 verses in each stanza, all starting with the same Hebrew letter. Okay? So those first 8 verses all start with the same Hebrew letter. Some of you in your Bibles, in your translation that you have, you might have in front of each one of these groups of 8 this funny little scribble thing that you're going, what is that? And the next to the first one, it says Aleph. And next to the second one, it says Beth. And next to the third one, it says Gimel. And then it says Daleth. Those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? Those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And what this writer has done, there's only 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, by the way. And what this writer has done is group together his love or her love for God's Word in each one of these groups. I want you to see what the first one looks like. So, Jonathan, if you could put the slide up of the Aleph stanza. You may not be able to see it well from where you are, okay? This is Hebrew. And by the way, as I look at it, no, I cannot read it anymore. I took 1 year of Hebrew, enough to gather in some information. In seminary, they called it baby Hebrew. That's all we got was baby Hebrew in looking at this. But as I look at this now, I want to let you know that there are no vowels in these words. There are no vowels in these words. They are only consonants. That's all there is in the Hebrew. Okay? Later in the 800s AD, some people added little dots and dashes to confuse seminary students to let you know what the vowels are. But in the original language, there was no vowels written down. Now, I also want to let you know it reads from right to left, not left to right. So some of you are probably looking at that and going, well, boy, they didn't even... It reads from right to left. And if you look on the right-hand side of this slide, you will see all the way down the page, you have the same letter starting each sentence. Okay? That's Aleph. That's a letter that's not even pronounced, by the way. That's not an A. It's a letter that's not even pronounced. And I wish I could read this for you, but I can't. I can tell you the last word on the first line is God's personal name. It's translated, who walk according to the law of the Lord. The very last word on that first line, the one on the furthest left, is actually the Lord's name. Okay? They're not sure how it's pronounced. It's YHWH. This is what, when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God said, I am who I am. That's the last word on that line. All 22 stanzas are this way. The second set is with Beth, then Gimel, then Daleth, and that's as far as I memorized my alphabet, okay? Unfortunately, they don't have an alphabet song in Hebrew that I know of. Here's what the writer is doing, and this is what I want you to understand. The writer is saying, let me tell you about my love for God's word from A to Z. Let me tell you about my love for God's word from A to Z. I want to tell you everything I love about God's word. That's why this psalm is so long. Because the writer is trying to get you to understand, here is the great, powerful, and wonderful love that I have for God's word. It's magnificent, it's incredible, it's stupendous, it is awesome, it is powerful, it brings me life, it helps me, it guides me, and over and over and over again, the writer is going to say basically the same thing with different words for 176 verses. Some of us might read through this and go, well, let me put it this way. If you're an English teacher, maybe we have some English teachers here. If you're an English teacher, you might look at your student when you read Psalm 119 and say, can't you say this more concisely? But the writer is so overpowered by their great love for God that again and again and again, they want to state it for you. I love Psalm 119 because it helps me see this whole A to Z thing and get excited about God's word. If we look at the first two verses, or first three verses, it says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless. That word blessed can also be translated happy. If you're blessed, I will say this. When I come into the office tomorrow morning and see Jan, I'm going to ask her, how are you? How many of you know what she's going to say? And does she say it this way? Oh, I'm just so blessed today. Is that the way she says it? The way she says it is, I am blessed. I get met with that every morning I come to the office. I am so blessed today. Folks, that's what this psalm writer is saying. I am so happy about God's word. Happy are those who follow God's word. by walking them and seeking God with my whole heart. Happy. Happy are those who follow God's word by walking them and seeking God with their whole heart. That's the first three verses. Happy. It's not that we look into God's word and we go, oh gosh, there's another thing I can't do. Oh gosh, you mean I'm supposed to help my enemies? Ooh, God, I think you should write something different there. I want you to understand what God has written down for us and preserved in God's word is, hey, if you will live this way, you will be so happy. You will be so blessed. It's not that God's up in heaven going, let's see how many things I can write down to knock the fun out of living the Christian life. God says, if you live outside these commands, these laws, these precepts, these ordinances, these ways, it will be harmful for you, and you will not have a happy life. That's what God's trying to explain to us. You can have a happy life. Now, that's not to say that there will be moments in our lives where there's sadness, where there's trouble, because that's going to happen. How many of you have grown roses before? What's the great thing about roses besides the fact they're really beautiful? They smell good. They have thorns, except for the ones at the florist. Have you ever noticed that? The ones that they sell at the florist don't have thorns. How do they get them to grow that way? Do you know? They pull off all the thorns before they sell it to you. So guys, when you go to buy your flowers this week to take home, there's an important day this week in case you didn't know that. There's an important day. Make sure that all the thorns are gone. But you see, here's what I've also learned. And when we lived in Norfolk, I grew miniature roses and have yet to plant them again. And miniature roses are absolutely beautiful. I love them. They grow more like a bush and like a hedge. And they just look beautiful with small little flowers all over them. I went out one day to prune them. And guess what I found out? They have miniature thorns. And some of them you don't even see. You see, our lives can be happy, but there's going to be things in the midst of our lives that are like thorns. That's going to be there. But the psalmist wants us to know, if you will follow God's ways, if you will follow God's statutes, if you will follow God's law, which I really don't like that word, by the way. It's the Hebrew word Torah. And I don't like when they translate it to law. Because we automatically think of law, what do we think? Well, you can do this, but don't do this, right? That's the way we think of law. Laws are firm and fast. I like to translate the word Torah as teachings, learnings. God's teachings to us, God's learnings to us. It means the same thing, but it doesn't carry that forceful impact, negative impact that our world has for law. Okay? The psalm writer says, if you will follow these ways, you will be blessed and you will be happy. And then they go on to say what follows in the rest of this first stanza, verses 4 through verse 8. What follows is a prayer. Next follows a prayer to be able to be that kind of person. The psalmist is praying, Lord, I understand that I will be happy if I follow your word. I understand that I will be blessed. But it's so hard to do. It's so difficult to do. And this is their prayer that says, Lord, I want nothing more than to be this kind of person. this is what I want, and this is what I desire. Listen to these words again, verses 4 through 8. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How many times do you dig deep into God's word? And as you're digging deep, you're going, oh, that one's so hard to do. The psalmist is praying in this case, saying, God, help me to be able to live your word the way you have presented it to us. And when I fail, don't let me be filled with shame, because I know how much you care for me and how much you love me. Let me just dig a little bit deeper and try to live a little bit more that way. And God says, it's okay. It's okay. And you see, right here, the beginning of this incredibly long psalm, the psalm writer says, I'm afraid that I will fail. And God, I need your grace so that I can live your commands. It's a powerful and wonderful psalm. I would ask you to spend some time reading through it, because when we spend time in God's word, spending time in God's word is what will help you develop a love and a heart for the Bible. Spending time in God's word is what will help you develop a love and a heart for the Bible. I'd venture to say there's a number of houses that probably have Bibles that are never opened in the United States. And people can tell you what's in the Bible and what they think is in the Bible, but they've never opened it up and developed a love for God's word. It is such a powerful, tremendous book. As we sit down before it and as we read it and as we spend just such a simple, simple time with it. I spent some time with the staff this past Wednesday night, and we were looking at some of Jesus' last words here on earth. And he had told the 11 disciples, after the resurrection, the 11 disciples, he told them, go to Galilee to such and such a mountain, and I will meet you there. And Jesus meets them there, and they all worship him. And the very next phrase is so surprising. It says, and some doubted. Wait a minute. They followed his directions. They went where he asked them to go. They worshiped him and were excited to see him alive again after the resurrection. And some doubted. How could they do that? You know what I read instead? God says, Tim, you may have some doubts at times, but I still trust you. You may fail at some times and not live the word as the way God wants you to live it, but I still care for you. Because Jesus says next, all authority has been given to me and I give it to you. And I will be with you until the very end of the age. Wow. Even though they doubted? Folks, living God's word is hard. But spending time within it will develop a love and a heart for it. And I know there's some folks that don't like to read. Just take a little piece and spend a little bit of time with it. Let it sink deep within your heart. Let God show you why there's some boundaries. Let God show you that you can be blessed. Let God show you that you can be happy in the Christian life. Let God show you that you can dance Because that's what the Christian life is about. It's about, as God sings out and as we read God's word, to dance. It's just like any other musical. We hear some wonderful words and then we all get up and sing and dance. Amen? Who's going to join me? Rick, I think they're a bunch of Baptists. What do you think? Folks, it's about being excited. It's about looking in God's word and saying, oh, what a wonderful thing this is. And how it brings me blessing and hope. How it shows me so many things. How can I not be happy about having a Bible that I can read? How can I let it sit on the shelf and never use it? How can I not open up God's love letter to me and read it? I would encourage you, spend some time. So here's what I ask you to think about. Are you spending time within the Scriptures to develop a love for them and thus finding happiness? Are you spending daily time within the Scriptures to develop a love for them and thus finding happiness? Because the psalmist tells us, blessed are those who live God's ways. Blessed are those who know them. Blessed are those who repeat them. Blessed are those, happy are those. Happy are those that spend time in God's word. Are you developing that love for the very word of God that has been preserved through ages, and that today each and every one of us can have a copy of it? And many of us have more than one copy. Are you spending time within them?